It's a Tuesday on the Locked On Celtics podcast, and can we not? Can we just not with Jason Tatum? Can we not with DeMarcus Cousins? Can we just not? Rainy days back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my Seas jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the Seas, that's the best way. Melly. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I'm John Corrales of MassLive.com, coming to you from lovely Portland, Oregon, where the Boston Celtics are going to play the Portland Trailblazers. We know that Kemba Walker still out with that knee, and I am not going to make a big deal of it, even though I'm not happy with the way things have been handled, even though I still have questions about exactly what and where and when. But it's pretty obvious that those answers aren't going to come. The Celtics aren't going to answer any of the questions. Whatever answers we get, I don't know how much truth there is to those answers. It's just the company line is what it is, that they didn't expect any sort of swelling. They didn't expect the fluid. They didn't expect all of that stuff. They wouldn't have done it if they thought that this was possible. And so it happened, and they're going to deal with it. So, okay, fine. It is what it is. The company line is that they're going through a strengthening program, and Kemba will be out for however long it takes for them to strengthen the knee. And it's not a long-term thing, but they need to strengthen the knee. So that's that. No Damian Lillard. So that takes a lot of the juice out of this matchup. The two starting point guards, two of the best point guards in the NBA, two guys that are electric and worth watching, they're not going to be there. So the Celtics, this is an opportunity for them to take this game. It's an important game for them to take. And if they come out of this four-game road trip 2-2, I think that's something that everybody will generally be happy with. They beat the Timberwolves, who they should beat, and they narrowly lost to the Lakers. Okay, that was a tough, hard-fought game. You lose to the Lakers on the road by two in a game where Tatum went off, and there were definitely moments there that could have gone a different way. Gordon Hayward could have made a layup. A couple of calls could have gone a different way. Certainly without Kemba, it hurts their chances. But so that happened, that game happened. You feel okay. Like, okay, you'd rather win. There's some frustration there, but whatever. It's a close loss in a winnable game against the number one seed in the West. You deal with it. You take this game, this Portland game. I think it's important for them without Dame, even though the Celtics don't have Kemba. Without Damian Lillard, the heart and soul of that Blazers team, you got to take that game. You got to win that game, because the back-to-back in Utah, that's a tough one. That's going to be a tough one. I'm not going to lie. I've been saying from the beginning that that's probably a scheduled loss. You lose a time zone, so you play a game that I think is an 8 or 8:30 start. So it's a later start anyway. Then you lose a time zone, so 8:30, I mean, they're not going to land in Utah till like 3 or 4 a.m. Then they got to play a game that night in altitude against the Utah Jazz team. That's really good. I am not putting a lot of stock in that game. I just would not expect much out of the Celtics in that game. If they do come out and they perform well, bonus. But I am not expecting anything out of that team that night. Just chalk it up. That's what's going to happen sometimes. It happens, and whatever. And hopefully, that's not the case. So here I am in Portland, and I was thinking about what are we going to do for the podcast? The Celtics didn't practice. Today was an off day. I've kind of said what I got to say about the game in LA. The last 2 minute report came out. No wrong calls, no missed calls, according to the NBA. So that game is what it is. And so moving forward, I thought, what are we going to talk about today? I came up with two ideas, and they both have a theme. As you could tell from the top of the show, the theme is, can we not, and I've got two targets here with the can we not. One is Jason Tatum. One is DeMarcus Cousins. One is Jason Tatum's ascension to stardom. His where he is right now and the conversation that is out there right now about Jason Tatum, it's bothersome. It's troublesome. And I just, my reaction is, can we not? The other one, DeMarcus Cousins. People keep bringing him up. And I understand the bench is a problem, but can we not? So with that in mind, Jason Tatum is up first. And I'm going to talk about Jason Tatum and all of the craziness that's going on both sides of the Jason Tatum equation when we come back.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Coming into this season, one of the developments that Celtics fans and those of us in the media were watching for was Jason Tatum's ascension, Jason Tatum's next step. And we saw it early on that clearly something was happening. And once he was named an All-Star, he took off. He didn't just make the All-Star team. He became a star player. He became Boston's number one guy, unquestionable number one guy, to the point where in that Lakers game, we saw the Celtics for the first time this season really try to force feed him, really try to say, okay, you're the guy, go do it. Part of it was because other guys were cold, but part of it was because everyone is acknowledging, like, Tatum has taken this step forward, a big, huge step forward. And so here we are. There's two things that are happening with Jason Tatum, and it's both sides. One is the side of, like, the Nick Wrights of the world, who just can't give the guy credit, can't sit there and say, you know what? This guy is taking a big step forward. This has gone beyond, hey, this is a great week, a great 2 weeks, a great 3 weeks. This isn't just a guy who's getting hot. This is a guy who is scoring kind of almost at will in a lot of situations. This is a guy who is figuring out what to do with himself as an offensive player, while, by the way, being a pretty damn good defensive player. Like, he is playing on both sides of the ball. He is carrying the team through stretches offensively. And for people like Nick Wright to deny that he is taking this leap and has become a star in the NBA is disingenuous. So I say, as I began at the theme of this show, can we not go through this process, this stupid debate show process of cutting a guy down for the sake of cutting him down because you have to make an argument one way? And as I say that, I go to the other side of the equation, where Kendrick Perkins and others, I happened to be sitting at a table at the Staples Center on after that Celtics game, and It was a weird situation. I haven't been in that situation before, actually, because it happens so rarely. The Celtics had the early game, and then they flipped over the Staples Center to become a hockey arena for an LA Kings game later that night. By the time I was writing, and by the time I had like stories to write and all the quotes transcribed and all that stuff, the Lakers floor was gone. The ice was unveiled. It became this hockey arena. The hockey media had gone into the media room, so the basketball media was kind of sort of being squeezed out. And I heard people talking about the basketball game. And there are people saying, like Kendrick Perkins was saying, that Jason Tatum is working his way into the MVP conversation. And can we not do this with Jason Tatum? Can you Celtics fans, can those of us who have this ability to like take a step back? I know it's not not always possible. People get caught up in the excitement of the moment of the past month. If you can, bring yourself to please take a step back and just let it happen. Just let it happen. Don't rush it. Don't rush the whole thing. Let Jason Tatum become the superstar. He's not a superstar yet. He's not. Can he be? Of course he can be. One of the questions that I got on Twitter, so I was flying from Boston to LA. I bought the Wi-Fi on the plane, and I said, hey, ask me anything. One of the questions I got was, can he become a top five player? And my honest answer is, he could, but generally speaking, top five players show it right away. There are notable exceptions. Kawhi Leonard didn't show it right away. Giannis Antetokounmpo did not show it right away. So, yes, there are exceptions. But generally, you look at guys who show it right away, like Zion Williamson. You're like, this guy's going to be special. You go back through time, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan. Like all of those guys, you saw it right away, and you're like, wow. And those are the guys that typically become top five guys. There's room for Tatum to make that leap into top five. He's not yet, and he may never get to that point. He might not. So my reasoned answer, my kind of like expectation percentage-wise, like probably not, but possibly, I would say he's probably more of a 6 through 10 player, top 6 through 10. Which is still amazing and exactly where the Celtics need him to be. And if that's what he is, then he is a potential MVP. Then he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, he's still going to be all of those things, but he's just not going to be maybe in the top five conversation. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be Paul Pierce, who was never really a top five player in the league, but like a top 10 player in the league. And if that's what he becomes, then that's great. Paul Pierce won a title. There's room for guys in that realm to win a title. Whatever. If he is a top five player, I would not be surprised. It's not going to be shocking if he becomes that. But, of course, I had this conversation online with Mark D'Amico of Celtics.com. And why I think it's problematic to jump the gun and say, yeah, man, he's an MVP or an MVP candidate or whatever. Like, maybe he's going to get some votes for like fifth in the MVP voting. Like Isaiah Thomas got votes for fifth. No one expected him to be the MVP, but maybe he gets those votes. Jason Tatum could be a third team all NBA guy. It's going to be hard with forwards, but he could be a third team all NBA guy. And that's good. That's fine. If that's where he ends up, I'm happy with that right now. When I say, can we not with Jason Tatum, and why I bring up the D'Amico conversation, is because if you go out there and start jumping the gun and saying that he is an MVP right now, that he is top five right now, that he is first or second team All-NBA right now, you're taking people who like Jason Tatum and who think he can be really good, and you're making them argue against Jason Tatum. And can we please not have that conversation and make the how good is Jason Tatum thing be divisive among Celtics fans? Like, that's just brutal. I hated that online interaction. I hated that because I had to sit there and be like, whoa, pump the brakes on Tatum. And you sound like, I know I sounded like an asshole because I have to sit there and be like, well, frankly, there are still holes in his game. And that's awesome. That's great. I love the fact that there are still holes in this in his game because he is really, really good right now. And the Celtics are really good right now. They actually have a chance to win a championship this year. There are other teams ahead of them, but they are in the conversation of teams that could win a championship. And Jason Tatum is like the number one or two, at worst, three reason why that the Celtics have a chance to win a championship. And the fact that he still has holes in his game means he's only going to get better. And I want to see him get better. I want to see him become the player that he's going to be. And I do not want, throughout the process of him becoming whatever it is that he's going to become, whatever his ceiling is, I do not want to fight about him. I do not want to sit there and have to, like, knock him seemingly down because people are getting way too over-anxious. Like, I love that people are getting excited about Tatum, and you should get excited about Tatum. This is an exciting time for Jason Tatum. He is a good young player, a great young player who is just about to turn 22 and is starting to really feel his powers as a player. So the whole point of this segment, as I listen to people talk on both sides of this on Monday, is let's just please take a step back and appreciate, just appreciate the fact that he is this good, this young, and that he still has so far to go, and that that distance of where he's going to be in his prime 5 or 6 years from now is going to be so much better than it is now. But he's not that now, and that's okay. He's really, really good, so don't let people say that he's not. But don't overhype it, because it just does a disservice to him. Okay? That's all I ask. I still have another can we not, and it's about DeMarcus Cousins, because I've seen this happen over the past couple of days, and I don't know why it's happening, but please, can we not?
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
The Celtics bench has been terrible over the past couple of games. It's just been bad. A couple of reasons for that. Kemba's out, so Marcus Smart steps into the starting lineup. And because Marcus Smart steps into the starting lineup, it means that there's one less good player coming off the bench. So you know how that goes. One less good player coming off the bench means less production off the bench. The other thing is that Enes Kanter has not been what Enes Kanter was before the All-Star break, which was much better than what Enes Kanter has been. The deficiencies in his game have kind of either returned because of just them returning and water finding its level, or his hip. I think it's more his hip than anything, but all of the things that he was doing well to help bolster the bench at the beginning of the season, the offensive rebounding, the putbacks, and all of that stuff, where he was giving the Celtics production off the bench, that's all gone right now. I think it's because of the hip. He's just not moving well. And if he's not doing that, then there's almost no production coming off the Celtics bench. It was vastly outscored. I mean, we saw
the Celtics starters combined for, what was it, 107 or so points, like out of 127 points against Minnesota. We saw the bench get outscored by 30-something against the Lakers. And so I get that people are upset. People are upset about Danny Ainge not making a move. I will say, as an aside, this wasn't the point of this. People who are saying, thanks, Danny, for not making a move at the deadline. Like, what was the move supposed to be? Like, I don't know. But fine, you want to say that? Say it. Whatever. But my can we not here is with DeMarcus Cousins. And I just want people to, like, take a look at this. For some reason, it's come up that DeMarcus Cousins, his name has surfaced in Celtic circles as, hey, what about him? Can we add him to the bench? And can we not do this with Boogie again? Like, he's been hurt. He is hurt. He's still hurt. The Los Angeles Lakers are the number one seed in the West. They just cut him to sign Markieff Morris. If he was healthy, do you think the Lakers, who are looking for depth right now, would cut him to sign Markieff Morris? Now, Keith is okay. He was doing all right in Detroit. But if Boogie was healthy and able to help the Lakers, don't you think they would have held on to him? Don't you think that they would have kept him and used that depth? They need that depth. If he was healthy, he'd be playing. So I understand that people are looking for solutions for a bench that has been problematic. Can we just... DeMarcus Cousins is not healthy. He's not ready. You're not going to cut somebody to sign DeMarcus Cousins and have him come here and pay him to rehab his knee just for the possibility of him maybe coming back at some point later in the playoffs after having missed an entire season to maybe give you 5 minutes, 10 minutes tops. Like, that's just, it doesn't make sense. So the Lakers did this for a reason. If the Lakers thought that DeMarcus Cousins could help them, they would have kept him on the roster. They wouldn't have gone off to sign Markieff Morris after a buyout from the Pistons. The Celtics do need some help on the bench. Like, if you're just focused on them going out and trying to win a championship this season, then yes, they do need some help off the bench. The hope is that they get two major pieces back. Well, one major piece and one important piece just for the sake of their situation. Kemba Walker coming back moves Marcus Smart to the bench, and that helps the Celtics. Worst case scenario, Kemba Walker comes back. I shouldn't even say worst case scenario. An alternate scenario is that if the Celtics bench is so bad that they need to bolster that with some scoring, you can readjust your starting lineup. And I'll go back to my Gordon Hayward conversation. You can possibly move Gordon Hayward to the bench and have him come off the bench because the bench is so bad. If Brad Stevens says, look, Gordon, we know that you're starter caliber. We know that you want to start, but this bench is so bad that we need to start you on the bench so you can come in the middle of the first quarter and in the middle of the third quarter and provide some level of scoring. And you'll still be in the finishing lineup. You'll still get the same amount of minutes. You're not going to get a reduced role. We just want to change, like, the few minutes at the beginning of each half, how you play, when you play, the distribution of those. The Celtics can do that. The other thing is Robert Williams is going to come back. He's ramping up his workouts. He's closer. And
that gives the Celtics bench some level of production. Even if he's not scoring a ton, even if he only catches a couple of alley-oops, if he can be a positive, a net positive, he can stop other teams' benches from scoring, and the bench differential isn't quite what it's been the past couple of games, that's enough. That's enough for Robert Williams to get the job done. So can we please just not, with DeMarcus Cousins, can we please not go down this road with Cousins and thinking that he can help when he's not healthy? Just take a step back, look at the situation, and say, oh yeah, okay, I see why the Lakers cut him now. The Celtics will get better, and their bench will get better once Kemba comes back healthy and once Robert Williams comes back healthy. Those two things are going to help the bench significantly. So, and Brad Stevens always has other options to tweak how the bench is used. So it's not the past couple of games, it's just not. Basically, this segment is the same as the second segment in just don't overreact. Don't overreact to a couple of games where some things look really, really bad. Just please don't overreact, because you can go through the entirety of the season and be like, oh, well, you know, if you overreacted to Jason Tatum missing layups, and now we're sitting here talking about don't call him the MVP just yet. Like, that's how quickly things change. In November and December, people were like, I can't believe this guy can't make layups. And now we have Kendrick Perkins calling him a potential MVP. So things change over the course of the season. So because a couple of things happened, because the Celtics bench has been so bad the past couple of games, we don't have to overreact. Yes, it's an issue. It's obviously an issue. This Celtics bench was never supposed to be deep. It's supposed to support the starters. And once the starters are all healthy and you add Robert Williams, they should support that unit much better. So that's it. That's all. Can we just not go crazy? I hope you enjoyed this podcast. A little, you know, thanks to Tom Westerholm for like fleshing out this podcast with me, because basically I was sitting there ranting at a bar with him talking about what the hell am I going to talk about, and we were talking about these other topics, and I'm like, oh wait, I'm going to turn this into the podcast. So I'm going to leave it at that. Say thank you for listening. Hope you liked it enough to subscribe. Your regular subscribers, I hope you enjoyed it enough to give that 5-star rating and a good written review. Very, very helpful. And share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.